tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me in this endeavor into the future, or lack thereof, is two guys from This Week in Geek, Mike the Birdman Dodd and Alex.
That's right. This is TechCom soldier Mike Dodd reporting in, and I guess I'm joined with my adjacent right-hand man.
Yes, yes. Hello. Can we call this episode Terminator Grandma's Day?
Yes.
Sure.
So if you can't guess by the title of what we're kind of hinting at, yes, we're going to be talking about on this episode of Altered Geek, we're going to be talking about the Terminator franchise, more recently the Tim Miller directed Terminator Dark Fate, which opened at the beginning of the month, presuming this comes out in November. It has not been as successful as it was predicted to have been. Its opening weekend, it was predicted to make a $47 million opening box office. It fell significantly short of that, opening at around $29 million. Hasn't done particularly well overseas. And that's not because the movie's bad per se. It's the third best Terminator sequel. Mind you, that is a bar that is not set particularly high. But it is the best sequel following the crap that has frankly followed since Terminator 2 Judgment Day. All of us have now seen it. It's been a few weeks. We've had a chance to digest it, think about it. We've had a chance to think about, I think her name is Mackenzie Davis, plays Grace, who's the new human resistance fighter sent back in time to protect a new woman named Danny. We also get Linda Hamilton back as playing Sarah Connor. Arnie's back.
She's got that really almost like smoky old voice.
Yeah, but she's ultimately amazingly kick-ass. And I'll say this right out the gate. She's the best part of this movie.
Oh, yeah.
I love Sarah Connor. I've always really liked the Sarah Connor character. We also get the new Rev 9, who is the new Terminator sent back through time from a new artificial intelligence that was designed for cyber warfare known as Legion, which now Judgment Day happens in 2020-something. 2021, I want to say. And Grace, who's the human resistance fighter, gets sent back from 2042, I think it is, or something along
those lines. Yeah. I believe it's 2022 when Judgment Day happens, because it takes place 20 years later.
Yeah, and it's weird. Yeah. It seems like there's a nuclear apocalypse, but it's not as bad as Skynet's, because they say it took years for things to go bad. And it didn't happen all at once. Like,
yeah,
and Legion came online, and then the power went out, and then like supply lines went down, the cell phones went out, and then they tried to destroy it with strategic EMPs.
It sounds to me not so much that like it fired missiles, but it doesn't sound like it fired nuclear missiles, because they do the flash forwards, it looks like when you see like those empty. Almost like those empty Russian buildings from the communist era where they like built entire malls and hotels and stuff that just never got used. It's got that sort of a look. Not like the ground's been devastated, but more like it's just been overrun because nobody's there to maintain it. So my guess, and they specifically don't say nukes in the movie. So I'm willing to bet that the Legion did it because the nukes would make the land unviable even for it to operate in. So I think this time it's more like we used EMPs and then they dropped whatever ballistic missiles they could to strategically kill the people, but not do damage to the planet.
You know what always struck me as kind of odd about the Terminator franchise? To think about it from the outside looking in. Okay, so Skynet, Legion, whatever, the AI that wants to kill people. So using nukes at first is a great idea. Okay, let's establish that. Why not use a biological weapon and just clean up the job and let the virus take care of them? The virus doesn't affect the machines. Just do a two-step process.
Maybe,
just an idea.
It's true. Isn't that sort of what Genesis was?
Genesis, well, that was a T-9000. I actually had to do a little bit of research.
No, but I mean, you know how, like the idea was to turn it into like a techno-organic organism.
Yeah, because that's when Skynet infected John Connor to become the new
with like Terminator. Nanites and stuff. Yeah, so I'm willing. Like they could go with that route, but I feel that they don't simply because
it's less cinematic.
Well, it's also going to sound weird from like the logic behind this for me is they're a completely synthetic life form, so perhaps they would think of any biological life form as inferior. So why bother making it a chemical or biological weapon?
Yeah, that's not bad. Although ultimately they could just use a bunch of mustard gas or chlorine gas if you want to go back to ancient chemical weapons.
It might be it's a robot. It's going to be okay. Sorry, it's an AI. It's going to use the path of least resistance, the easiest way out, right? So wouldn't it want to use what it's already available to it? It was built as a military hardware program. It's replicating basically what it knows. That way it doesn't have to do something different, right? It wasn't built for chemical warfare or biological warfare. It was built for ballistic warfare. So that's
true.
So that's what it builds, is ballistic weapons.
Yeah. So this movie takes place in after Terminator 2, in the same timeline that presumably T1 and T2 happen in. It happens, I think, 5 years after T2. John and Sarah Connor are somewhere in Guatemala. They're on a beach somewhere. A T-800 that got sent back in time around the same time as the original T-1000 eventually catches up to them and blows John away with a shotgun on the beach. The Terminator then leaves. Sarah's like, no! And the future is presumably hosed. However, because if anything has happened this year, you can thank the Marvel Cinematic Universe for this. We now have the Divergent Timelines theory, where just because something happens in X timeline doesn't mean the future necessarily happens in a straight line. You get alternate realities. Mm-hmm. And it's confusing, to say the least.
Also, watching it, I saw it opening weekend, I believe, as well. And to me, I got confused with the timeline on there. It takes place in, what is it, 97 or 98 when it shows the flashback?
94 or 95, I want to say.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure it was 97.
I don't know. Let me look it up.
Because I remember
in 97 is when Judgment Day originally was supposed to happen, wasn't
it? Yeah.
I believe it takes place after Judgment Day because that's why she thought she was safe.
1998.
So it takes place after Judgment Day. So, and the timeline, they don't look appropriately aged enough. Do you remember in Terminator 2, was it specifically supposed to be 90 or 91, or was it supposed to be 92 or 93?
I think it was supposed to be 91.
It was supposed to, okay, because I was a little confused with it just based on the aging. Like, they didn't age a single day in five or 6 years.
Well, like, she looked exactly like she did in T2, and then he looked actually younger than he did in T2.
Yeah, because of the software they used to. I was surprised.
Although,
we get into the issue is, I thought the CG was worse than any film they've ever had in the franchise. It's for the first 20 to 30 minutes of the movie.
Some of it was pretty goddamn goofy.
Well, for Terminator, for this one?
Yeah, some of it was really bad.
The first half of the film has really bad morphing technology, and the de-aging stuff they used at the beginning looked worse than it did in X-Men 3, which is like 12 years ago.
See, honestly, I thought the de-aging that they did to Arnold and Sarah and them, I thought that it actually looked much better than some of the stuff they even did in like Rogue One or in...
Benjamin Button, maybe,
or even Captain America: Civil War.
Well, yeah, like
I thought it looked much better than that, considering that it's, you know, usually they've face planted Arnold's face on another bodybuilder. Well, it still could have been him because he's still pretty buff,
But you know how they got the model to look the way it did for him? They used the model for the toys.
That's funny.
They had done a face mold of him back in the day. They didn't do the others, but they did his. So they used a 25-year-old CAD program that had his model dimensions. So that's how they were able to get the structure to look right.
That's funny. But yeah, I mean, either way, I thought that CGI was actually probably some of the best done. Now, some of the running and some of the weird falling from the sky stuff that they had at the beginning of the movie, yeah, that was pretty hokey and looked like crap by comparison. And it was kind of funny, too, because they gave the liquid metal of the Rev 9, which is basically what they did to the T-800 at the end of Genesis, is made him, you know, so he was exoskeleton or endoskeleton underneath, and then had the T-1000 turn him into a metal Terminator. So basically, it's the same concept, but I thought that idea was neat. Although the way they did the liquid metal and how they pieced it back together, I thought was kind of goofy. But at least it didn't look like the liquid metal looking like somebody spilled a container of Capri Sun and made it turn into a human.
One of the things I have a problem with the Rev 9, and this may be me just looking way too far into it. Okay, so it's two Terminators. It's essentially an endoskeleton with a liquid metal. Yeah, with a liquid metal sheath, which is very similar to the TX, which had an endoskeleton with a liquid metal sheath over it. So when they separate into two separate entities, they function as two separate machines. So why is it the endoskeleton from the Rev 9 can get sliced up, reform like a T-1000, and yet it doesn't make sense? Like, because that should be the hard piece, and the
endoskeleton. I can tell you why.
Because they didn't think it through.
Nope. Bluetooth version 12 or whatever they're going to have in the next 20 years. it's wirelessly connected. So.
Well, no, I'm talking about the physics of it.
Well, like, you're talking about how the robot itself
can rebuild itself, because the endoskeleton should be hard. It got
beaten up pretty bad.
Yeah, it should have been shattered, and the liquid metal part should have survived on as its own separate part.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to explain. The endoskeleton is the host. So, if you kill the brain of the endoskeleton, you kill the skin, the skin is just basically it's wirelessly connected. So yeah. if you killed, let's say you separated them and you killed the endoskeleton, it would have killed the liquid metal part completely. It would have just dissolved into, you know, whatever.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The endo took way too much damage compared to the skin.
It's not adamantium.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like she put rocket launchers at it. They shoved it into a turbine at a dam, and it somehow survived that.
Although the liquid metal didn't.
Yeah, the liquid metal didn't. But
it looks like it was a carbon fiber, some sort of compound that way. It didn't look like it was made out of actual metal. It also,
again, overthinking.
Yeah, well, also just from the physics of it in the movie, it looks a lot lighter. When he gets into different cars and that. It appears normal, but whenever Arnold moves around and things, they purposely make it look like he's still 400 or 500 pounds as the robot. Mm-hmm. So they did give enough attention to detail to show that it's a much lighter, you know, probably sort of polycarbon fiber, blah blah blah, future tech. But yeah, they did a little too much with it. But at the same time, if they didn't have the tech or the budget to do the special effects right, I don't know why they bothered with some of the scenes. This could have been much darker if he was more menacing. If the action only happened, you know, half as much, but there was more menace and terror of it. Like, it's always walking towards you. It's always coming, sort of like it was in the original movie.
Yeah, I mean, the Rev 9 was cool, but he was never really threatening. Like, Robert Patrick as the T-1000 had a good menace about him. He had an air of likable charisma, despite the fact he's this unstoppable killing machine. Even the TX from Terminator 3 with Christina Lokenson had a bit of that menace to her as well. This guy, it's not that he's a bad Terminator. It just seems like, hey, I'm flashy and cool for the sake of being flashy and cool. And he could do some neat things by turning his body into all sorts of shooty, stabby weapons. I think he even had a built-in gun at one point.
Yep, beginning.
So, okay, sure.
Now, the gun would just be firing little pieces of the liquid metal, right?
I think that he also did have an actual gun, though. Because he was by a guard and he eyed the gun before he walked through security.
Yeah, that's true.
So he probably did absorb the gun and just covered it in liquid metal to make it look like a bag to begin with.
The one thing that they haven't done well since the second movie is, and actually even the first movie didn't do it, was properly integrating the T-1000 or the liquid metal assailant as a truly
an infiltrator
stealth. Like, there's every one of these films that has these liquid models have a scene where like they show up as a family member and they're like, "Hey, where are you going?" And then they do the pull the whole, that's not them. Like, they either immediately know, or somebody else shows up that it's the same person, and it's like, you can't be twins sort of scene. But the second movie had the scene where
the guard,
not even the guard, where it infiltrates his home.
His mom, already or his stepmom, or whatever.
Already killed his foster mom, had completely integrated itself and was making dinner for everybody with nobody none the wiser except for the dog.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Like, it was content to serve dinner with the husband, pretend to be play housewife, and then go through the entire it could have gone through, lay in wait, could have waited a day, could have waited 2 or 3 days, nobody would have known. And they've not done anything to further that to be like, because the whole point of it being liquid metal was so that it could infiltrate. Well, every time they show up in every successive movie after that,
they're war machines.
Yeah, they're not like, you know what I mean? Like, they should be scouts or stealth fighters or assassins.
They're more of a spy, like infiltrator, yeah, instead of being, yeah, this thing that can just like, oh, I can just change into whatever I need to blend in to get to the next destination.
They're an assassin, not like an original Terminator, which is like a grunt.
Yeah, like they should be specialized as opposed to being tanks. Yeah, that's a really good way to kind of look at it, because like even the Terminator skin jobs, when they get used as infiltrators, they can lie in wait for weeks, if not years. There, they show this in Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, a few different times. Yet with the liquid metal ones, well, I guess I can make an argument for the T-1000 in that series too, but not. Yeah, you're right. In the movies, the T-1000s are, oh, I'm just going to tank this anti-material rifle round and be fine, as opposed to, why don't I sneak around and be really stealthy, as opposed to, oh yeah, I'm a machine from the future, you die now, stab.
Yeah, like they do a decent job where like he's at the deportation center and he's walking through and he talks to him. He's like, you know, where do I get a plane like that, or a chopper like that? That sort of deal. That's just quick interactions, but nothing comes close to being like, hey, I've integrated myself.
The long con.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where,
I mean, it was pretty brilliant. I watched that scene with my brother the other day and he forgot about it. And we were laughing just the parties, like with Wolfie and Max, the dog.
Mm-hmm. Wolfie's
fine, dear. Where are you? Hangs up the phone. Your stepmother or your mother and father are dead. They just walk away.
There were some pretty clever moments with the Rev 9, though, where he's able to talk to somebody, give them believable dialogue, where he's like, oh yeah, why are you showing up as metal? Oh, 3 tours in Afghanistan. Stuff like that. Like, he knows enough background about the world to just make shit up right on the spot.
This is the first...
Or to blend in with the sheriff department.
Yeah, this is the first Terminator that actually showed emotion. Did you notice that? It was the first one that was able to actually mimic it. Like, they, even in Genesis, they didn't do that. It was still very stoic. But this was the first time where it was clear, like, it could mimic almost instantaneously. And the fact that it accessed the internet and basically it took like 2 seconds to absorb all of human knowledge and then was like, well, bam, I know exactly how to interact now.
I thought it was funny, too, that Sarah Connor's like, you've been tracking me? If you want to keep your phone in a chip bag, keep it in a chip bag.
So clearly it did work as long as you keep it in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Arnold, although this will come across as blasphemous, so whatever. Arnold almost seemed like an afterthought. You could have had this movie just about Grace and Danny and Sarah Connor. You didn't really need Arnold. It seems like he was a very last minute, because it doesn't show up until the third act.
Yeah, I noticed that too. And I feel like, but also I think that's also with that same culture of trying to make the entire woman, you know, like the whole, you know, a powerful woman type film.
But this, I mean, but that's what Terminator has always been about, though.
No, I get that. But what I'm saying is they're trying to like make like what they did with the recent Halloween movie, you know, making it so like there's a team of women that can, oh, they can handle it by themselves. But then, you know. So like they
end up pulling the plug at the last minute by going, well, I guess, oh, what if people don't like this? We have to put Arnold back in. So yeah. I get what you're saying there. Now, although if you do look into it, he was written into the script initially, like way before. I believe there was stuff with him cut.
Well, this was a fairly short movie. Yeah. I mean, it was only 2 hours and 2 minutes or something. But yeah, I mean, I felt like it could have used a little bit more of Arnold in there, but I understand why they had him be the way that he was, like playing that T-1000 or not T-1000, T-800 that he was, that blew John away and then kind of growing a conscience in a sense and helping him to his bitter death.
I mean, it's a cool storyline and I do like what it says. It just felt kind of, the story was there. Like, it's like Tim Miller had his movie with help from James Cameron. And then Arnold says, okay, I'll do it.
Let's be honest, James Cameron, looking at this, I doubt he did anything other than give them a concept. Maybe a couple of ideas. It doesn't have any touchstones of his. I guarantee you he didn't oversee any special effects. He had probably nothing to do with it whatsoever.
No.
This seems like it was a name only to get people back on board. I still really enjoyed it. There were some funny callbacks here and there to the previous ones. And, some people might have complained that it had humor, but this was a much darker tone than the previous immediate installment. I've watched a bit of Salvation, and I get bored trying to watch that. So
Salvation's a very odd movie.
It wasn't as boring as what I could see in there. Plus, I went back and watched T3 and went, ooh, this is a lot worse than I remember.
T3, I think, gets a bad rep.
It wasn't bad. It's
enjoyable.
Oh, try watching it now.
But it's not the follow-up that should have followed T2.
No. Too much comedy. Too much comedy. Yeah, exactly. And all the actors were terrible in it. Absolutely horrendous.
Nick Stahl was not a good John Connor. I liked Claire Danes as Kate Brewster.
She overdoes it a lot in that movie.
She like gets too method acting with it.
However, though, looking at there, this is something that I think Dark Fate did right, but it doesn't too well, and it's never talk about more interesting events than what you're showing. And there's a couple times where you hear Sarah Connor, she explains to Grace and Danny, she'll get a text message with a set of coordinates and an exact time. And she says, every time I get these coordinates, it says blah, blah, blah for John. And she says, I find Terminators, I show up with whatever weapons I can, and I blow the motherfuckers away. Her words, not mine. So I want to see that movie. I want to see Linda Hamilton fighting Terminators with rocket launchers and everything else. Maybe team up with a human resistance fighter if she wants. But that movie sounds way more interesting than what we got. Now, yeah. I get where they're going with this. Essentially, what is a soft reboot of the Terminator franchise? Because now you've taken out Cyberdyne. Now you've taken out Skynet. Now it's known as Legion.
And the T-800s are gone now because that was a part of Skynet.
Nope. Here's the conspiracy theory that I went over with my brother at the theater. They mention that there were many that were sent back, and they were not all sent back to the same time period, right? There is nothing to say that there's another skid of 50 of these things, of these Arnolds, that aren't scattered to be sent back over the next 20, 30 years. Kill at any cost over the next 10 years.
Well,
and then
I can follow your conspiracy theory. Actually, they did talk about this in Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles. Sometimes when Skynet sent back Terminators, they would target other people, right? But sometimes those time travel things they'd screw up and a Terminator might appear inside a wall. Occasionally T-800s would be scattered throughout history.
Or they could go, okay, well, we sent a few back to kill Sarah Connor. We sent them back to kill John Connor when he's a kid. When he's an adult, they could go, okay, well, how about this? Just to hedge our bets, let's send 50 back to 50 key points in time when John Connor did something that would affect us. Regardless of if that event happens or not, we have a contingency.
Yeah, and
so there's no reason why they couldn't have it. They could do the next movie. You know, the next movie could be, oh, Legion happens. We're going to have that fight. Make it a Future War movie, but make it a Future War where Legion doesn't know that we've been secretly collecting the Skynet robots, and it's basically robot versus robot.
I think that would be interesting, especially because we know certain Terminators are capable of learning and emulating a conscience, especially developing self-awareness.
Yeah, well, the 800 series clearly has the biggest flaw, because they took out the learning computers in all of them, but they took out and tweaked it for each successive model, and that's obviously why it was discontinued.
Well, what they say in Terminator 2 Special Edition, there's a line, this was from a cut scene, when Sarah's extracting the T2's chip, or the T-800's chip, the Terminator's explaining, they send us back in read-only mode, and Arnold says, because we can learn, and Sarah says to Arnie, because if you learn, you become efficient, you start to think on your own, and Skynet doesn't like that. Yes. Then in Sarah Connor, and then in the Terminator Sarah Connor Chronicles, it gets expanded upon where Cameron, who's the T, I think she's a 888 or an 850. I think she's a 888. She explains, yes, Skynet only sends back Terminators in read-only mode because they might start thinking. And that's a problem. And that's a known issue with the T-800 endoskeletons.
Yeah. So if you look at it that way, they're sent back just, and they would come to the same conclusion very likely that this one did once its mission was either completed or not possible to complete because said person no longer exists. And they have basically no official orders. They'll never get official orders from Skynet ever again. They'll start to think on their own, and they're going to go, like the Legion computer system AI is more of a hive mind than... from what I was reading into it, more of a hive mind than a central AI. So it would still see the Cyberdyne systems robots as a viable threat. And if they had independent thought and they had the ability to learn, they would very likely go, well, you know, they can kill the humans and it won't matter to me. But if it sees me as a threat, I'm not going to let myself be terminated by another, you know, robot. They'll be looking for a cause, looking for something to do, which is the idea behind what happened in this movie. So if you could get like 50 Terminators, and they don't all even have to be, like, if you want to save money, have a few of them, you know, have the Arnold suit on them, and have a whole bunch of them just be the exoskeletons. And that's a lot easier to render, especially if you make a few physical models. And think about that, the image from T2 at the beginning of the movie where they show the Future War and they have like the Gatling gun and everything, but picture a whole bunch of the Legion robots and liquid metals and skin jobs and all of them running from the right hand side, attacking, shooting, and running from the left hand side, you see humans running with T-800 exoskeletons shooting back. If you just released a poster of that, imagine, you know, what it would do.
So you know the T-9000 that you guys were talking about at the top of this conversation. I was doing a little bit of digging and reading on it, and he was supposed to go back to kill Sarah Connor in the first movie and ended up in some other alternate timeline. And so it essentially had a malfunction in the time jump and went in an alternate dimension, which had Sarah Connor being basically like this Danny character in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very similar in that fashion, because she more or less was the savior instead of John Connor, because he was never born.
I kind of like how they do that, where basically they give the idea that anybody can become the savior given the right motivations. It's not fate that determines who you are, it's what you do in the future. And I guess that is a very empowering message. But when you think about it, it kind of strips away the core of what Terminator was. And I don't know whether that's a good thing. And I'm not saying Terminator hinged upon the idea of it has to be John Connor or it has to be Sarah Connor. But I like the idea. I don't know what I'm trying to say here. I like the idea that one person can make a difference.
Here's the thing. It wasn't I think the way you're looking at it, Mike, is it wasn't that it had to be John. It had to be who Sarah raised is who the Savior was. So she now in this timeline is basically raising
or training. Danny.
So, and that's what the line in the movie, she says, "Oh my God, you're John."
Okay.
She says that in the movie.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
So it's not that it's John. That's a name or whatever. It's who
it needed to be trained by Sarah Connor.
She had to have influence. So she's the core of it. And even Skynet didn't know that. Skynet went, "It's John Connor, got to kill him." Well, it should have. They're like,
it should have killed Sarah Connor.
It's like, we'll kill the mother. Okay, well, that didn't work in the first one. So they're like, we'll just kill John when he's a kid. Not realizing that they probably should have just gone back in T2 and killed her. Because without her, he wouldn't have been raised to do it.
And now that she has the experience of killing multiple Terminators, she can now train Danny.
So and also, you want to think about why the future doesn't have as bleak a nuclear fallout or any of this crazy stuff. You think maybe it's that this time John isn't, you know, raised by his mom for a couple of years where she has a couple of years of experience. This is now somebody who has 30 years of fighting Terminators behind her, training them so that they don't lose nearly as many battles.
Yeah, that's true as well. I mean, one of the things that this thing, as you've mentioned, it seems like the future is less bleak in a sense. I heard this on either another podcast or I've talked about this with someone in person. It says it almost looks like the fighting or the scenes of the future take place maybe in South America, judging by the architecture, maybe in Russia or something like that. It doesn't look like America.
It couldn't have been because they find her in South America.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like this whole movie takes place. They're not even in Mexico initially, right? They're down farther south, and that's where she was when everything happened. So this literally, this version happens down there, and I don't know. Part of that would be probably because of budget constraints that want the film there. But as far as the storyline goes, it's a very different. It looks more like a guerrilla warfare in the future of that one versus like traditional.
Now, given everything that's happened, this movie is not succeeding beyond its expectations, which is really unfortunate. Do you think we're seeing the end of the franchise?
No, they'll attempt one more. And, you know, it either has to be a future war one or it has to be something. But they will do one more with Arnold and that's it. I do not think we're going to have Linda Hamilton come back. I think they're going to see this as an experiment that failed. Whereas every movie that had Arnold in it made money, a lot of money. So the ones that made the least amount of money were the ones that didn't have Arnold.
I think if you wanted to continue the franchise, I think maybe a movie's not the right way to do it. I'd maybe move it to a streaming service and give a small limited edition series. Put some HBO money behind it. Give me a 6-episode miniseries of Terminator. Finish out the franchise that way with Arnold and give me a proper conclusion to this franchise and end it on a similar note to Terminator 2, where it's literally that dark highway where it gives us hope for the future. Because at the end of the day, the Terminator franchise is about hope that one person can change things. It's not, you're not fighting against destiny or fate, that you make your own decisions, your own path through life. And it's always been about strong women. And if you could somehow convince Linda Hamilton to come back or maybe continue the adventures of Danny or somebody,
I guarantee you I'm okay with that. They don't want her back. I guarantee it. As even though she was good in the movie, they're going to see it as a lot of feedback they received was who wants to see grandma fight? And it sounds bad because
they did it in Halloween and they're making a sequel. Well,
I would counter that.
For this particular movie, that was the narrative.
I don't know. It seems like everybody liked Linda Hamilton.
I think she was one of the best parts of the whole movie.
So do I. I think it was great, but I also think how they think is going to be, well, what was different about this one? Why did it fail? And this film,
it failed because people are burned out of the Terminator franchise.
I think part of the problem this failed.
It came out way too late. This should have been a summer movie.
Well, that's true, yeah, too.
Like, this is not a winter tentpole.
It would have never held up against anything that Marvel had coming out.
No. If they were smart, they would have waited until next summer and given the special effects more time to bake and then had a better marketing plan behind it, because throwing Arnold into Mortal Kombat didn't seem to help.
Yeah, and they threw the Rev-9 and Grace into Gears of War, also Sarah Connor, which is really weird playing the Hive mode with her.
It made its production budget back, but it won't make its marketing budget back till it hits video.
Yeah, I mean, and one of the weakest parts about this, and I feel terrible saying this, is the human resistance fighter, Grace. I didn't much care for her. It felt like she was sassy for being sassy's sake. I didn't get the sense of urgency I got from Kyle Reese. I didn't get that human edge from her. And I know she's an augmented cyborg who's meant to help them. And the whole, if you can't kill Terminator in 5 minutes, you're not going to kill it at all.
She doesn't have any screen presence whatsoever.
Yeah, that's kind of it. And it's nothing against her personally. I just didn't feel like I connected with her. I mean, and say what you will about even previous installments with Nick Stahl and Claire Danes, I got a sense of humanity out of them.
Yeah, I didn't get much out of her.
Yeah.
And then she was always like, we need to go hide in the bottom of the mine shaft. And everybody's like, you're stupid.
Yeah, like, we need to stand and fight. I mean, even looking back at Genesis with Jai Courtney and Amelia Clark, they were likable. Mackenzie Davis is bad.
It's proven that Amelia Clark is only good in Game of Thrones and pretty much won't be good in any other movie, because everything else she's done has looked terrible. So she was not cast well in Genesis.
Yeah, I'm curious to know how her new Christmas movie's doing, Last Christmas, I think it is.
What, Christmas movie think... where, like, do we really want to watch a movie about somebody dying of cancer at Christmas? Is that really what we want?
Like, well, it's Will Smith, bad... I think he did a movie called 7 Pounds, and it came out around Christmas time, and it was about the same idea.
But it wasn't a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
True, fair enough.
Yeah, this isn't starring somebody who's only good at Game of Thrones.
Yeah. So,
like, she's really not going to break out of that. And this, she was poorly cast there. Jai Courtney was poorly cast. This was a better overall cast. I would say the actual Terminator in this was pretty well cast. With the exception
I liked
of,
him.
Well, he also was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as Ghost Rider.
Oh, I forgot he was that. Yeah,
I didn't watch because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was garbage. So,
well, I didn't watch it either, but I saw the trailers.
But he was great. But whoever they hired to do the models of the face, everybody looked like they had plasticine on. Like, it looked like CG from before Terminator 2. So, he was good in that role. Are we ready yet for another Terminator that looks like a giant monster? Because I'm kind of tired of every single one of them being T-1000-esque.
Give me something weird. Give me another skin job, and I'd be okay with that.
You know who you should give us a turn? If you wanted to give... what were the original Terminators called? The ones...
Which ones?
Where they said they barely looked human.
T-600?
Yeah, the T-6s.
Yeah. Those were the big hulking ones that were actually like bigger than regular
rubber
humans.
Skin. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and you know who you give me that one.
Brock Lesnar.
No. Who? The I can't even pronounce his name. The guy that plays the Mountain in Game of Thrones.
Oh, that dude. Yeah, that'd be pretty kick-ass.
He's like 6'9" and like 390 pounds, and he's the world's strongest man. Have him stand next to Arnold to show the difference. Like, give us one of those where, like, the idea was not so much that they fit in or blended in as much as Skynet thought they would, but
make
that
them
they
like
were
heavy
they were
infantry.
They were an unstoppable tank.
Like, that's a really good idea.
Instead of holding a plasma cannon, the guy basically holds like a minigun and walks around and just demolishes everything. So fire a missile at him, breaks away his skin. Great. Now you've got this, like, instead of 400-pound robot, you've got a, like, 1,500-pound robot slowly coming to murder you.
That would be really cool, yeah, and call them like the T heavy infantry or something like that.
Yeah, that like would be really cool. They're meant to be sent on the battlefield. Like they have the skin on them, so they like the first attempt at blending in, but how believable is somebody who's like 7 feet tall and looks like that? I mean, he's hard to believe in real life.
Yeah, I mean, there's this franchise, it has some life left in it. It has some stories left to tell. The problem I see is we keep retelling the same story over and over again with a few different notes here and there. There needs to be, I think, a sense of finality in closing the loop.
They need to end it.
Like, this franchise needs to go to bed for a while. I mean, we've had a Terminator movie pretty reliably, at least one every between about every 10 years, you'll get something, because there was the gap between 1992 and 2003 for Terminator 3. And then we had Salvation, and then we had Genesis. So you got them pretty consistently. And then the problem is Sarah Connor Chronicles in 2008.
We can't wait another 5 or 6 years. Arnold will be too old.
Yeah, so he's up soon.
He's, what is he, 73 now? Like he won't be doing this when he's 78.
No.
You've got me. If they started recording something next year, you have enough time for him to do one more movie where it's believable. Now, I would actually want to see either, we've talked about crossovers before, but if another movie that would have a good concept like this that should be revived, if you want to give this a rest, give it a rest. And what made me think about it was they actually share a soundtrack for the first film. Why not, you know, explore something like Universal Soldier, bring that back, or find a way to put that, like, how about that? How about, it's not necessarily Universal Soldier, but if you're going to do another Terminator, why not make it instead of Skynet or that, it's just basically robots reanimating are dead. Something twisted.
You know what would be great? Cyborg it would sell tickets. It would sell, but it would be a very limited appeal, but I think it would fill seats. If you did RoboCop versus the Terminator, because they did the comics in the 90s, there's been video games, there's been toys, and just do it. One-time event. If you can do Freddy versus Jason, there should be no reason you can't do RoboCop versus the Terminator.
Now, do you go super fanboy where it's like it gets sent back in time but goes through a wormhole and goes to the wrong dimension, or do you go or do you try to make it as realistic as possible where it's like there's RoboCops made and they're all brought online, but then they're like, hey, they go the Universal Soldier route with the next breed, so the first generation, like RoboCop is a prototype. He's not networked. And the rest of them are all networked together, just like Universal Soldier, and they go Skynet crazy.
I'd follow the comic book, but I'd change things. I'd maybe bring back Frank Miller to readapt it.
That's I wouldn't touch him with he's gone crazy. Don't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
Well, maybe take his ideas and tweak it then, because the RoboCop versus the Terminator book is interesting.
Now, who would you get to direct it? I would go with Robert Rodriguez. He does all of his movies fun, under budget, and they look decent for their price.
I'm trying to think. I want someone who appreciates the versus genre, but I was gonna go with the same guy who did Freddy versus Jason, but that was almost a little too goofy. I don't know off the top of my head. I don't know
if you really want to explore Terminator or Robocop,
maybe somebody from Fast and the Furious franchise.
If you want to go with somebody interesting, go with a Cronenberg. Give him money, because I mean, he's semi-retired, but go with somebody like that, somebody who would do it more as a character piece.
Because RoboCop versus the Terminator does explore the idea of humanity, because it's because of Alex J. Murphy's brainwaves that give Skynet sentience. And he does, when he rebuilds his body in a Terminator factory, he's like, oh God, what have I done? So that's not a bad idea.
Or do you go back to Paul Verhoeven?
Paul Verhoeven could pull it off.
I mean, he directed the first RoboCop. He knows how to do the right amount of dark comedy with it.
Weller would sign back on.
Or do you get Peter Weller to direct it? The dude's got a doctorate in fine arts. He might be more interested in directing than he would be in starring in it.
I think that'd be interesting to see if they could pull this off. I mean, either way, I think that would be an interesting summer blockbuster movie.
Yeah, the go-to. Now, I was thinking about if you were going to do that crossover, the go-to would be Denis Villeneuve, the guy that did... have you seen... I'm pretty sure he's the one. He's the Canadian director that did Arrival and Blade Runner, the new one.
Okay, yeah. A Blade Runner 2049. Yeah, all yeah. right.
Yeah, him. He's either him or... what's David Bowie's son? The guy, I forget his name, but he did Moon. He did Source Code. And did he do the Warcraft movie or did he do something else? Which I still haven't seen. But there's a few of these younger, you know, late 30s, early 40s sci-fi directors that would have grown up watching both properties that might be good for it. I don't know if I would go with the old Hollywood guard, and I don't know if I would go with the Fast and the Furious thing because it would get hokey real fast.
But it would be explosion-y, but be really cool, especially when you got into the future war stuff.
If you're,
right. You don't want it to get too hokey.
Give it to John Woo. He hasn't done an American movie in like 15 years. There'd be lots of doves flying in the air in slow motion, double gunfights with RoboCop. Okay, who would you, I want to see? Sorry, we're going a little off topic, but I want to see. RoboCop versus Terminator, but it be the RoboCop is played by Jean-Claude Van Damme, so it can do weird kicks, and I want the Terminator to be Steven Seagal, but this day and age Steven Seagal with the gut, so it's just Terminator, it just whispers and it just barely touches you and kills you sort of thing, and then I guess. Bruce Willis has to be in there somewhere.
I got nothing.
Because that's pretty much it. I know we're joking here and there, but it's this movie had a pretty consistent tone, which was good, but I didn't think overall it was good.
It's the best sequel?
It's the best sequel since the second one.
Yeah, which is, like I said, not a high bar to clear. There are some inconsistency issues with it. In my opinion, the best part of this movie was Linda Hamilton. It's got some really interesting ideas I don't think are fully explored. I'm hoping against hope that there's a good behind-the-scenes featurette on the future Blu-ray, or there's a really good director's commentary. I may actually listen to this one because I love the... Actually... Weird bit of trivia about me. Here's something you didn't know. We all talk shit about T3. T3 was the first documentary and first audio commentary I actually sat through. And I actually learned a lot about the filmmaking process by listening to it. So that's why T3 holds a little bit of specialness in my heart. But I'm hoping that time is kinder to Dark Fate than it is currently in cinemas. I hope this isn't the end of the franchise, because just the fact that Arnold's T-800 gets slagged, and I don't like that to be the end of Arnold.
I hope that's not the final shot. I think it would be cool if they actually had the human that was the inspiration for the design show up.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember. I think his name was Sergeant William Candy.
Oh, but they did such a goofy voice for him.
Oh yeah,
in that deleted scene where they're like, I don't know if that accent's believable, and then they turn to a scientist that they
sounds
put
like Arnold.
Well, they put Arnold's face on top of a skinny guy, and he just goes, "We can fix it." And it's like, "Oh come on!" Like that. It was good. It would have been more funny if it was just him speaking. Like if they had purposely got him to sound out every word and do it without the accent.
They actually do address this in the expanded universe for Terminator. In one of the novels, they do actually, Sarah Connor actually teams up with the guy who is the basis for the Model 101.
Well, if they were smart, all they have to say is, if they're like, why does he have the accent? Why does he look like that? It'd be like, this particular line was manufactured by a factory in Austria.
Yeah,
or
he was based on an Austrian special forces soldier.
Well, yeah. Well, they never have to, like, it's people just assume Cyberdyne, every robot's manufactured in the States. Like, no, how would they get world domination unless they just start opening factories all over Europe? So it's like, this is a European model meant to fit in with Europe and hide there in plain sight.
Yeah. So I hope this, like I said, isn't the end of the franchise. I know there's a lot of Terminator Expanded Universe stuff that I'm a big fan of, and I hope some of this gets addressed. I have a feeling it will be at some point. I think you're right, Alex. I think there was some stuff cut from this movie. I think Tim Miller did a good job.
He's a good director, and I like him. I think if they do another movie, there has to, and if they do get Linda Hamilton back, or even if they don't, if you're going to finish the franchise, bring back Michael Biehn. And how you bring him, how you bring
back Kyle Reese.
Well, do you know why you bring him back now? In this timeline that's changed, he doesn't die. You know what I mean?
Like, he never gets sent back.
Yeah, so she could literally in the next movie be going somewhere while this war is starting and find him, and he'd be proper, he'd be aged properly.
Yeah.
So she could literally find him, because he looks pretty good for his age still. And imagine the, again, the poster of Arnold's, you know, Arnold's Terminator fighting with Kyle Reese.
That would be pretty kick-ass.
That would be a good way to end the series, actually.
Bring it full circle.
And yeah. and like it ends with like them, you know, she's too old to have kids, obviously, but it ends with them together with the new resistance leader and Arnold's robot. And that, and then, and it just says, we're in, you know, it ends with we're in uncharted territory, and that's how it ends.
I'd be okay with that. I'd totally be fine with that.
So you'd have the Danny character with the Terminator that's there, and
yeah, the Danny character with a version of Arnold's Terminator, and then you've got
an older Kyle Reese,
Sarah Connor.
Come on, Hollywood, we know you're listening.
And you know Michael Biehn needs the work. I haven't seen him in a movie in so long, and I miss him.
He does a lot of conventions. Actually, there's a really cute picture.
He does a lot of like direct-to-video-y type stuff. He just hasn't done a lot of theatrical in a while.
There was something he did on Twitter within the last month or so. It's a video. It's a picture of him with a little girl cosplaying as Ripley from Aliens, doing the iconic pose where he's showing her how to use the M41A pulse rifle, and it's so cute.
See, that's what I saw and made me think of that. And also, when I was thinking of like Robert Rodriguez directing it, he's done a bunch of movies with him. So
yeah,
you can't completely kill the franchise without bringing him back, because that's really, what other big news could they do to pull people back in to watch now?
Yeah, pretty much. If it's going to be the swan song of the franchise, yeah.
Bring him in. I don't know if he's still alive. Bring the psychiatrist in if he's still alive.
Ed Bolin, I think his name is.
Which would be hilarious. He was the best part of T3.
Actually, you know what's great? His character is in the Sarah Connor Chronicles. He turns into a reclusive nut job, and Sarah goes to see him, and he's like, they're still out there, aren't they? And she's like, yeah, I kind of brought one with me. And she points at the girl that plays River Tam. Help me out with her name.
Summer Glau.
Summer Glau, yeah. She's like, oh yeah, that's a new one. And he's like, you things never stop coming back, do you? She's like, no.
Well, that's right. Actually, before we finish up the episode, I forgot something very important. So the reasons I think that things were cut is they don't really explain that military friend of hers, the one that just hands over an EMP illegally from the military. And initially when I saw it with my brother, we were like, oh, that's just Miles Dyson's son from T2, because he's the right appropriate age. He could join the military. He could have been somebody working on the inside to help her. It was his name, Danny, I think, in the...
Yeah, Danny, yeah.
And it would have been perfect, but he has a different last name in the movie. And I feel like either that was either intentional or that's a lost opportunity, because it would have tied in with T2 perfectly. You know, basically his dad's dead because of the events of T2, and John's dead. So she could have been like a surrogate stepmom, sort of keeping eyes on him. And then, you know, over the years he gets into the military, he's obviously seen some crazy shit and heard some stuff. So he becomes paranoid or whatever and works for intelligence and is secretly feeding her information to keep her, like, whenever she gets too close to being caught, he's how she's been able to evade capture for the last, you know, 20 years.
I'm wanted in a few states, actually all 50.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. She had some great lines in this
movie. Which would mean, like, it's hard for her not to get caught. So it was, that's how they explained it. But like, it would have been really nice, and it might still be, because there's not a whole lot online about this movie. Like, there, you don't see a lot of the scripts, you don't see a lot of the background, so it'll be interesting to see special features, because I feel like that character was written to be him.
I felt that too.
Nobody else in the theater seemed to get it. My brother and I were like, immediately we're like, oh, we know who it is. But when then we saw his name, we're like, what? So I would be interested to see if there's a director's cut of this, or see what revisions the script went through, because this feels like it had several.
Yeah, like this, like stuff just seemed not quite right.
Every event that happens in it was good, but seems like it was cookie cuttered together.
Yeah, I have a feeling there was a lot of stuff with Grace in the future that was cut out. Like, there's something about her that we're not being told.
Well, not to mention they didn't show the operation or how they did things to her. Like, there was a lot of the future stuff that seemed like it was going to be revealed later on. That didn't work.
Just cut your time or budget.
Like, I feel like the idea was going to be that it turns out when she was, like, when she thought she was having her operation to get the super soldier shit, she was actually captured by Legion and used as a sleeper agent.
That would have been cool, and that would have tied in the Salvation pretty easily.
Because I thought that was going to happen, and then the reveal was going to be that Arnold was going to save Sarah from her. And like, she was going to try to rebel against it, and it wasn't going to work. And then, you know, surprise, surprise, Arnold ends up being the Terminator that has to save them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there just felt something off about that. Plus, I like the Future War stuff, and when they explain that she's an augmented human, that's cool and all, but they never really explain what that means, other than you get enhanced strength and everything.
Well, they also gave her the power core of a Terminator.
Yeah, and they don't really go into
which
that.
Which is my thing. It's like, no, she is a Terminator. She's not an augmented human. Her body is powered by a robotic core, really?
Yeah, I mean, at least with Marcus from Salvation, he was partially a Terminator, but also partially human. Like, he still had a human heart at the end of the day, but this one has a power core. That's not quite right, but maybe if there is like a tie-in comic book or scripts.
Well, there's a video game, which I don't know how much plot it's going to have.
Yeah, I
looked into it. I don't think we're getting a copy. I think we were offered a copy, and I was like, no.
Oh.
Because it looked like it looked like it was the same as that Jumanji one.
It's the same company. Bad. It's the same company who made Rambo the video game. And if you've watched Angry Joe's review of that game,
yeah,
the less we say,
so
the better.
That's why I politely declined, because we're honestly too busy for a lot of these. If it had looked fantastic, great, but this wasn't even like a movie tie-in. Like, there was a budget behind it. It looks like a mobile game.
It's like they got the license. I don't know. If it drops to $20, maybe I'll pick it up.
But yeah, especially if we hear that it tells more of the story, or if there's a comic tie-in.
Mm-hmm. Because there hasn't been a good Terminator game in quite some time. Although, one of the easiest platinum games to get, like, a platinum trophy in, I mean, is the Terminator Salvation game from 2009 on PlayStation 3. It's ludicrously easy if you know what you're doing. And any Terminator game since then, I mean, there was the official Terminator, the official T3 game for the Xbox. There was Rise of the Machines, which was underappreciated on the PlayStation 2, which it was called Terminator 2 Dawn of Fate. That one was really good.
At this point, I would be happy if they can't afford to make movies anymore for it. If they continue the story, like you said, a TV show, if they made a series of 3D animated movies, similar to how Starship Troopers Starship Troopers has two or three of them,
mm-hmm.
And they're canon. So I could see this being a lot cheaper to do that way, and they could explore some of the more difficult topics or bring back characters, and you could still model them to look like the characters. But I don't know. I think it needs to take a break. If they don't do something in the next 2 years, take a 20-year break and come back to it when everybody's dead and they can start over.
It's funny. Everything old is new again, and a lot of old franchises are coming back. I mean, we have Ghostbusters next year, 2020. We just had a new Charlie's Angels just came out.
That one is getting decent reviews, surprisingly. I'm not going to check it out unless it goes to a cheap theater, but I've got too much on my plate. The Ghostbusters, I will be very surprised if it doesn't do $500 million or more. It's got everybody back that they can get back.
Yep.
And
yep.
There were a lot of fans that completely shit over the last one. I didn't watch it. I refused to watch it.
It wasn't that great.
I refused to watch it. I refused to watch it. Not because, like, everybody was seemed to be hung up on it's an all-girl team, and I'm like, no. I'm willing to give things a go and give it a try. I'm not going at this because it's like it's not the original cast and it's all girls. I do not like Leslie Jones in anything. I don't find her funny at all. I don't find her talented. So I'm like, oh, and it's not because she's a girl. It's because her entire act is predicated on being a female version of Tracy Morgan. And I'm like, don't just copy somebody, but you're a different gender. So now you're a different, you know what I mean? It's not the same. You're just copying somebody. If you were another dude copying him, you'd just be like, oh, you're a copycat. So I just, that pisses me off. I just never find her funny. I don't find Melissa McCarthy that funny in most things. She's been in good movies, but I don't find her that funny. And I don't find anybody on SNL that funny right now, except for Kenan Thompson. So
I like him and Kate McKinnon.
I hate her. I think she's so untalented, but she's better than everybody else on the show. So it makes her look good. So I thought the script, I thought the trailers were terrible.
Was badly written. I thought it felt like watching the Bridesmaids movie but with Ghostbusters.
And
I don't know if I go that far.
That's what I was watching.
So I ended up catching it on TV last year or the summertime, spring, something like that, when I was visiting my family and they were watching it. And I found myself getting like angry where I had to leave the room because I was mad at what they did to the franchise, but I was mad at how bad the movie was, regardless of it being part of a franchise. So I feel like there's a lot of people that, you know, shit on the movie for the wrong reasons when it should have been shit on for right reasons. And I feel like this movie, this proper sequel will do gangbusters. There's really no way it can't at this point.
It also has the Stranger Things cred too, with like Finn, Wolfhard.
You've got that younger crowd. It's a franchise that it's one of those cases of it would have to be incredibly inept for it to, you know, underperform compared to the last one. So, like, for instance, like the Mission Impossible, or not Mission Impossible, Men in Black 3 or 4, International.
International.
Nearly as good as the others. Still made a crap ton of money and was entertaining.
Hated it, though.
Yeah, critics hated it.
It wasn't terrible.
It was more of the same, but it was entertaining. And that made a crap ton of money. So this, having the talent involved, having... this is a do or die with them. If this does not do well, the franchise is dead. And I feel like that's what Terminator's coming up to. If they don't do well with the next one, they're dead.
Well, it's like Die Hard. Look what happened to that. They did that fifth movie and it bombed horribly and they just kind of fizzled out after that. And they're still planning on making one, but...
Well, there was talk of a reboot, but I think it got scrapped when the merger with like Fox happened.
Well, they also talked about doing a movie where they had him... like a year one type thing where it's a flashback of him when he's younger, having, you know, dealing with something as a just general cop, and then going to him in modern day having to deal with the same issue because he, for whatever reason, botched the original mission with that particular villain, and that's what he's dealing with in modern day. That was the premise I'd read.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're sort of, you know, at the end of our ropes with a lot of these franchises. So, I mean, final thoughts, final thoughts, would you recommend somebody still buy this when it comes on video?
I'd say definitely watch it. Buy if you're a huge fan of it. If you can see it in a cheap theater, go for it. It's definitely the best sequel since Terminator 2. Just set your expectations. You're not going to get a masterpiece.
Yeah, I would say something
competent.
I agree. I liked it. This is one of the few cases where the tomato score being like 70% or 71% is about on par. I would say like 7 out of 10 people would say they like the movie. Doesn't mean it's the best movie. Mm-hmm. Like people forget that the tomato meter doesn't rate the quality of a film. It just rates if people liked it or not. So I would say 70%, that's about right. Very few people were going to come away from this saying it's a bad movie.
Agree. I enjoyed it. So, yeah, I think that about wraps it up, though, and talking about sequels and talking about the Terminator franchise. So, anything else we want to bring up before we close it out?
No, I mean, me and Alex are going to be busy on Twig for the next little bit as we start to wrap up the year. We should have something on Black Friday, kind of telling you where to go for stuff. We should also have our year-end gift guide, which should be going live on December 10th or 12th, which will give you ideas on what to buy. We've got a lot of stuff in the mail this past week.
And stuff's coming. We also were discussing doing a prototype or two. Probably, do you think the next one should be talking about Black Friday deals mixed with what happened at the Xbox event?
I don't think the Xbox event was anything special, but definitely something on Black Friday. So things you should maybe check out. We're definitely going to do a prototype for the year's end, and we'll maybe do a prototype, maybe kind of future casting 2020.
That sounds good, yeah.
So yeah, don't worry, folks. There'll be plenty of content. As you guys know, we take a break in on Twig from typically our gift guide until the second week of January. That's us for time to sleep and recharge.
Well, you're taking a break. I'll still be doing Turtle Treasure shows because we're still probably going to be receiving things around Christmas or after Christmas. So that way we don't have 40 reviews by the time we come back.
That's fair.
So but, they just won't be the meaty. We won't be delivering the news or that sort of meaty goodness. But we do want to have some like commentaries and things to carry through until the new year.
Yeah, we'll probably one of the reviews I want to do is Die Hard because it's a Christmas movie. Maybe we'll do Home Alone. We'll try and pick some of the classic Christmas movies.
I also review coming out. I don't know when this is coming out, but either tomorrow from time of recording or sometime next week, we'll have a review out for Santa with Muscles, the Blu-ray.
We did a commentary for that last year.
Did we do a commentary for that last year?
Yep.
Did we?
With Dave. Yep, well, Dave was here.
Did you do it with Dave or did I? No, Dave did it with... We did do it.
We did.
Oh, so scratch that. Now, maybe we should do Jingle All the Way or something.
That's a good idea. I like that. So, yes, stay tuned. ThisWeekInGeek.net. Tons of stuff for us to check out. Tons of stuff for you to consume. And we'll make sure we get you through the holidays as best we can. Because Turkey Day is coming, if it hasn't already passed for you, our American friends. And hopefully your wallets will be empty from Black Friday and Cyber Monday.
Alrighty. So, until next time, get altered. Get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
There is no fate but what we make for ourselves.
My name is Sarah Connor. I hunt Terminators. Enough of a resume for you.
How do we stop this thing?
I'm going to help you change the future.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.